Hello everyone, this is Mike Quinsey, Connecting the Light. My guest today is Gail Swanson. She is the author of a book, The Heart of Love, Mary Magdalene Speaks, which she tells us was written after a life-changing vision which told her of her connection with Mary Magdalene. And soon after, the writings began in the form of poems, prayers and stories. That really is it, apart from some personal details, which we will ask Gail about. So welcome to the program, Gail.
Thank you, Mike. I'm happy to be here.
Yes, well, I'll tell our audience that Gail kindly sent me a copy of her book, and it's a very beautiful read. I think that is the way I would describe it. Very interesting as well, because it does refer to Mary Magdalene's association with Jesus as well. But talk a little bit about you first. I believe you have one or two claims to fame, as I would say. I believe as a 35-year-old woman, you were the first Catholic to be ordained in Italy. And you were a member, is this correct, of the Breakaway?
No, not at all. No, that's somebody else.
Right. Who was that then?
I don't know.
Oh, right. I thought I read somewhere about that. What's the first bit about you?
No. My only claim to fame is that I was just living an ordinary existence, and I had an illness that was quite severe for many years, and I began meditating to just relax and to, you know, for healing purposes. And that had been, you know, I've been doing that for some time. And at one point I was lying on my bed meditating, and I felt like a wind was being blown into my mouth, very, very strong. And it made me gasp. Very deeply, and as I would gasp, my arms were flying up off the bed with each gasp. It was so powerful. And as that was happening, I began to see a vision, and it was of Jerusalem back at the time of Christ. And I, you know, it was like a little movie, and I was receiving telepathic information. And it was not too long. It wasn't very long in length. And then I sat up on the edge of the bed when it was over, and I said, I thought, who said that? Because it wasn't the kind of thing I would ever say. And I said, they gave me the breath of the Holy Spirit, which I don't even know. It was almost like I don't know who said it, but it was my voice saying that.
Yeah.
And that was the beginning.
Well, that's certainly a good start. Do I not recall, though, that your journey began at the Shrine of St. Michael?
Well, it very much had to do with the Shrine of St. Michael. Actually, it was after this happened to me. Someone told me about the shrine, and I had been to this town before, but I didn't know that the shrine was there because it was kind of a word-of-mouth thing. And I went with my entire family, and it's a tiny little shrine, and it was built by a mother whose child was dying, a little boy. I think he was about 10 years old, and there was no hope of his recovery, and he kept telling his mother that he was being visited by Michael the Archangel, and that Michael told him that he was going to get well, and that he, on a certain day, and that he wanted his mother to build a shrine. So the mother thought that her son was just hallucinating, and so she was trying to soothe him, and she said yes, and it turned out that on that day, this little boy got up completely well, and the mother did build this shrine, and it's a very modest neighborhood, small homes, and she had it built right next to her house. It's very tiny. And when I walked into this shrine, I just became completely overwhelmed. I just cried and cried and cried. I could not stop crying. And I really didn't know why I was crying. And I didn't have any really feeling attached to it. It was just this, you know, these tears that came. And it was not, actually, this shrine has been responsible for many healings since the time that it was built. And I didn't have a miraculous healing at the time, but very, very slowly but noticeably, I started to get better. And so it was like all of these things were sort of, incredible experience of, all these different elements that came together one after the other. And so the shrine also was instrumental in, after I had this experience on the bed and had the vision, I was told by a mystic that I came in contact with, he confirmed that everything that I had been told was true, and he said I should start writing. And I had no idea what I was going to write, and he was a channel who very much heard like a voice. So I kept waiting every morning to hear a voice, but I never did. And I did return to the shrine another time. And when I was in the shrine the next time, I heard for the first time the way that I would be receiving the messages, and it was Michael the Archangel. Because I heard it was, as if, you're about to write a letter and you're, sort of composing it in your mind. It was kind of like in my own mind. But yes. I heard, march sweetly forward in strength. And I said to myself, what was that? And then I realized that, oh, my. And I was with a group of people. I had taken a group of women with me. And I received messages for everyone on that day, which had never happened to me before. Mm-hmm. I mean, all of these things were just completely out of the blue. And right. My life just has never been the same. And so then I understood how I would be hearing it. So I felt that Archangel Michael really aided me in that endeavor. And then I did begin to sit down each morning, and then it just started to come. And as you said, it came, it was very interesting because it would come in the form of prayers, stories, poetry, and after I would write it and then I wouldn't really remember what I wrote, and I would be reading it to my family and friends, and everyone would say, what are you going to do with this? And I'd say, I don't know. And but then, soon after I compiled a lot, and then I did receive the guidance that, particular passages were to be put into book form, and so that is what I did.
Yeah. Well, you might well guess that Spirit would have something in mind after having gone to all that trouble, and of course you were part of the agreement. Just out of interest, where is the shrine?
The shrine is in Tarpon Springs, Florida. It's probably about an hour and a half from where I live. And it's really not very well known at all. Even people that, live here mostly have not heard of it because it's not advertised or, anything. It's just kind of a word-of-mouth kind of a thing.
All right.
So, but it's a tiny little shrine, but it's just very powerful. It's very transforming. I return there whenever I'm guided to, which is, quite often. And it's always, I've received other types of messages and guidance there, actually concerning the last time I was there was, very interesting because I was seeing, I would see Michael, and then it would change to Joan of Arc, Michael, Joan of Arc, and it was funny because I had never really, she was one of the guides that also came in at the beginning with all of this, with Mary Magdalene and others. And I had always thought of them that, you think of them with the armor and the sword and all that, but I never thought of them as aspects of one another. And that was what I saw when I was in the shrine. And it's, how it's little, I call it following the breadcrumbs, getting a little bit here and there. So
I must say, I do love the messages that come through Archangel Michael. I think they are tops, as far as I'm concerned. They're always so very informative, and obviously very spiritual. Something I just wanted to refer to, when you were inside the shrine, would you describe the emotion you felt almost, say, like meeting a long-lost friend? In other words, you weren't crying for any reason of pain or anything like that, or it was just happiness in a way, yeah?
It wasn't happiness. I felt completely overwhelmed with emotion that I couldn't really describe or put my finger on, but it brought me to tears. It was the energy in there was just overwhelming. And yes, it felt so powerful that I felt, I guess I couldn't even contain it. It was like pouring out of me, you know?
Yeah.
It was kind of like that. And, but after that, my feeling, yes, when I go there, I feel home. And that first time, how I felt after I finished crying, I remember sitting there, and my whole family was with me, my children, my husband, and I felt that I did not want to leave. And I remember thinking, I wish I could just stay here forever. That was the feeling. That was the feeling. And everyone, and whenever we go, everyone drags me out of there. I'm always like, they have to, you know, drag me out of there. They're hungry. Let's go eat now. And I'm still in there. So it's a lovely, lovely, just heavenly place.
Yes. They had to drag you away. Now, Mary obviously started speaking to you, and I believe one of the early things that she said was that truths can only be found within. Now, for some people, they might think, well, okay, how do I find them? What is your view about that? What sort of advice would you give?
Well, I can only speak from my own experience and from the guidance that I have received over and over and over, and that is that the beloved ones that are surrounding us and helping us and adoring us, they absolutely love, love, love when we make a commitment to take some time each day to do whatever that is that works for you, whether it's prayer, meditation, whatever that is, but every day. And I believe that even though I wasn't aware that that's what I was doing, the fact that I was meditating every day and putting myself, you know, finally learning to put myself in that state, that is how you can receive, you know, the higher, you know, what they always called it to me was, they called it the higher view. And, you know, for me, the more I kept doing that, the more that expanded, you know. And I really began to and, you know, I think, you know, what when we say within, well, that's just allowing the within to come out and to merge with the beloveds, you know. It's a partnership. That's how I look at it. It's a partnership. They'll meet you halfway.
Now, I noticed through the book there is a number of references to balancing the masculine and the feminine energies. Tell us your thoughts about that one.
Well, my thoughts and my guidance has been that, and I feel this has to do with absolutely everything, that everything must start in your own life, in your own home, and then radiate that out. If you are not living in a balanced way in your own life and your own home, we're never going to create this balance on earth that we need, that has been so out of balance. So if you are in your own life, you're in a equal, balanced, loving relationship, and you are, you know, moving through your life in that way, then that radiates out. And what I have seen is that, and I've been shown, that you are actually aiding others who may not be able or ready to do that yet. And so that energy that you are living in beautiful balance will radiate out to others and spark their own remembrance of the balance and maybe give them the impetus to live in a more balanced way. It starts with you. It starts with, you know, within. You know, you can't be looking around complaining about what's going on if you're not, you know, doing it in your own life. So that's, and one of the tools that I was given, and truthfully, you know, like I said, you know, you get a little glimpse of this, that, and the other thing, and I certainly don't claim to know much, but sometimes I'll be shown something or given something, and I don't really even know what it truly means. But I was, I started to receive during the writing a symbol, which was the diamond. And I would be constantly, you know, drawing the diamond, and I didn't know what that was about. And then I was, and then I received the first meditation that they gave me, which has become my work. And the first meditation that I was given word for word was called the Diamond Gateway. And it was literally given to me to help balance the masculine and feminine. And so they have asked me to use this diamond energy and it really comes up in mostly all the meditations that I've received, and they're very, very powerful. So I think that's one of the tools, and, you know, that's something people could just, you know, resonate with if they're drawn to it and see where it takes you, you know.
I must say, I can't recall having heard of the diamond energy. Is it known by any other name, as far as you know?
Well, I didn't know anything about it, and I would come across it now and then, and yes, I have seen it since, and I have had others tell me that they have either seen it or experienced it in meditation. So, and like I said, I don't really, I think it's also in I think it might be like in the Chinese or Tibetan or something. There is a diamond heart meditation that they actually use that I knew nothing about, but I did come across since. So yes, I think it really is like an ancient symbol, you know. It's a universal symbol, and I guess it has some sacred, you know, geometry, which I don't really fully know. But maybe, you know, I'm sure there are others that know more about it. I just sort of, you know, if they ask me to do it, I just do it, and I see how it goes.
Right, yes. Now, moving on a little bit, because your book contains what I think is a nice format. You have relatively short chapters about certain subjects, and I think that makes it much more easier reading. Anyway, moving on a wee bit in the book, in the breath, you mentioned that heavenly forces surround us. Now, some people might wonder what you mean by that. I mean, is that at any distance, if distance can be spoken of in that way, or are you talking about spirit energies that are very close to us?
Well, you know, there was a... what's coming to my mind right now when you're speaking of that is one of the things that I did see, and it is in the book, was when Jesus and Mary Magdalene were standing together, and what I saw was that they could actually see above them they could see the beloveds above them and see it raining down upon them and giving them strength and giving them everything that they needed. And it was like they just could see it. So it is, and they showed me that it is happening to all of us all the time, that it is always, yes, very, very near and very, you know, it's filled with everything that we need, all the help that we need, all the love that we need. And I remember feeling that if we all could actually see that all the time or feel that all the time, just to, you know, really know it's there, how different we would feel. you know. So, and yes, they spoke a great deal about the breath and how the breath is the conduit to connect you to these beautiful energies and how quickly that can happen. And, you know, if you, you know, if you just take a minute, we all know this, but if you just stop for a minute and just take a few deep breaths, you feel that shift immediately. Everyone can feel that immediately. So it's the breath that does, and all the meditations that they give me, they always start with us taking 3 deep breaths all together in unison. And that is so remarkable how that very simple thing of those 3 breaths have everybody immediately connecting.
Also very relaxing, I guess.
Oh, yes, now, very.
You have spoken about in the book integrating the physical and the spirit, and I believe that is also connected with it being necessary to take us forward to ascension. So what are we talking about here, integrating physical and spirit?
Well, I think that that's another way that Jesus and Mary Magdalene were these models of integrating the physical and the spirit. And I think that's why Mary Magdalene is so present and coming to so many people in so many different ways to remind us that we are walking on the earth and we have to do all that we have to do as human beings, but that we are essentially spiritual beings, you know, in physical bodies, and that, you know, if we look to what they did during such trying times and yet they completed their mission, that I think it's just about balancing. It's all about that same balance. You know, it's the balance of the masculine and the feminine, but it's the balance of the physical and the spirit, and it's all about us being in alignment and just learning to keep that balance all the time, because we do have to live on this earth and we do have to, you know, each one of us do our spiritual work. And I think for every person, it's your own journey in how you have to go about that. But for me, they are my, they're my inspiration for that.
That's very nice indeed. Now, we obviously have, from what you said, and I certainly believe this, a number of spiritual entities around us, which presumably do already know what our needs are. But do we need to ask them if we want their help?
I believe we do. I believe we do, and I think that sometimes we forget to do that. I know that I do, and yes, I think that we do. I think that they are not interfering, and we are on our own path, and we do have our own choices and our own free will, and I think that they very much love when we ask, and I also think that, you know, we have to be, when you ask, you should be very aware of, you know, you can specifically ask even if for them to give you a sign, and just be so aware that it could come in any form whatsoever, and it always will. You know, it could come in the form of a song. It could come in the form of a phone call from someone. It could come in the form of something you see in a magazine, but the answer will always come. It's just that most of the time we don't recognize it. So, you know, if you always put yourself in that place of knowing and believing that, like I said, we are in partnership with them, they will always, always answer. And I think, yes, they do. I think they do want us to ask. I do. Don't you? Hello?
Oh, sorry, yes. I was facing away from the mic there for a minute. I was going to say that I think they also are very pleased if we show our gratitude for anything they have done for us. That is, of course, on the assumption we recognise it was them in the first place.
Hello? Hello, I got lost.
Hello, Gail. I don't know what happened there. You disappeared.
Yeah, I said, that's what I think, don't you? And then I said, hello?
Yeah. I was about to say, which connects in with what you were talking about, with spirit around us and guiding us into situations that are helpful to us. I think spirit also are very pleased when we express our gratitude to them for what they have done. That is on the assumption, of course, we realize that they have had a part in it.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Yes, exactly.
Right. Now, one of the phrases that is used quite often in the book, which I'd like you to explain, is speaking from the heart.
Well, yes. In fact, I thought there was a very interesting thing that they were saying, which was about back to the breath again, and how if you pay attention to the breath and breathe before you speak, how that will actually help you to speak in connection with heaven and speak from the heart. So there again is another form that the breath takes that aids us in making that connection. And even it, you know, they talked about the breath and the voice, and how when you consciously breathe when you're speaking, and you know, feel before you speak, that you will speak in divine union with heaven. And I think, you know, and that's another thing that, you know, like, it's interesting even talking about it, because, you know, it's reminding me that to do that more myself. All of these little beautiful heavenly tips that they give us that, you know, kind of get lost in the shuffle, like all these things that we're talking about, asking for help and thanking them and the breath and, you know, all of these things that are constant reminders and little tools for us to stay connected.
Right. Now, there is also talk in your book of creating a vibration that will change the world. I think it said that we can do that. Now, that would seem to be a pretty tall order, but are we talking about an energy that is of light and love? Is it that type of meaning?
Well, I would love to tell you a little story which came immediately to my mind, which is how what we are doing in our own lives is creating a vibration that changes the world. And this is one of the ways that I was shown, and I am so grateful for it. And any chance I get, I like to tell it, because this is what is happening all the time that most of us do not see. I have my childhood friend from grammar school. We were still friends, and she had cancer, and we were very, very close, but we were not living in the same state. We were both in the United States, but not in the same state, and I would speak to her every day on the phone, and she was very, very much a part of all of this that happened to me with the whole Mary Magdalene thing. She was with me throughout the whole thing, and we had many, many incredible spiritual experiences together. So as she was going through this illness, it was a very incredible experience for us both, because we were actually able to see much of it on a higher level, even though we were having to, you know, it felt like suffering, you know, as we were going through it, because she did ultimately pass. Towards the end, when she could no longer walk, it was right like the first few days of when she was no longer able to walk or get out of bed, and she was an incredible artist. So she had them bring her pad and her pens, and she was drawing for the nurses and everything. And my point, I have to just say about her was that, you know, she was one of these stories that you hear about who just was full of grace and thankfulness and never complained, even though she had a very, very difficult illness, very painful. She was just always full of joy. She was had people streaming in and out of her room constantly because she was such a, you know, beautiful soul. So right at this point where she cannot get out of bed anymore, but she's so full of grace, I spoke to her on the phone, and it was exactly at the same time that Katrina had hit. And I was on the phone with her, and she said, "Oh, this is so terrible. I'm watching, you know, the television, and I'm watching Katrina." And I said, "Oh, honey, turn it off. You have so much to deal with. Don't be watching that." And she said, "Oh, I can't help it." And I've only had this happen a very, very few times. My eyes were open. I was speaking to her on the phone, and I began to see a vision in front of me, and I saw an entire family on the roof in Katrina. I could see every one of them. I saw like almost like a golden thread going from my friend Sally to these people, and I was shown that the grace with which she was in that bed and could not get out, she was literally sustaining these people on the roofs in Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
So that is an example of what we are doing when we transcend our humanity and are, you know, going through something at such a high level as she was doing with such beauty and grace. You are lifting up humanity. I mean, I really saw this. I will never forget it as long as I live. It was so amazing. And I told her what I was seeing. And you know when you tell someone, and you know, she got the chills and I got the chills, then you know it's true.
Yeah.
So it was just amazing. So I would say that is like an extraordinary example of what we're doing without realizing it.
Yes. I think that is wonderful because it tells us that any time we perhaps see something like the Katrina experience, our compassion and love for those people actually creates a link with them.
Yes, and sustains them. And sustains them, yes, and lifts them, and gives them, they may not know where it comes from, but that last bit of hope that they might have needed to hang on is coming from the loving grace of others. And that is why we are all one and we are all connected, and, you know, it's just incredible what's going on in the higher realms.
Indeed, yes. Now, you talk of the light of the feminine as being returned in the vehicle of Mary Magdalene and all women, and I believe you took a look back over the years and you indicated that this had already begun, where women were taking perhaps more responsibility and positions of authority in society. So one assumes from that this move, if you like, to bring the feminine energy in more strongly has indeed been going on for a long time, but the time for it to really manifest is now.
Yes, I think that's true. And I think that it's true of women and men. I think that also the reason that we are coming more into balance now is because so many who are in a masculine body in this incarnation are recognizing and their own feminine aspects, which is essential, because as those were suppressed in the male, it automatically became suppressed in the feminine, and, you know, this is how it just became perpetuated. So I think that I always kind of think of it as the men have this, like, really important mission, and, you know, right now, and that when they, it's the same thing, you know, like when they acknowledge it and they move into it, it is so powerful, so powerful. And I think that is why so much is happening now. And I think that we, you know, and I love to think of same thing, how as each one of us, masculine and feminine, are moving into those feminine qualities, that is transferring to others on the planet who are, you know, completely blinded by, you know, this whole higher realm that's going on, and that hopefully, you know, this energy will grow into something that is so enormous that we will, you know, we will be living the paradise that we should be living.
Yes, I think for far too long the masculine energy has ruled, as you might say, and unfortunately it's put women in an inferior position in many countries, and that really is something that's got to be overcome, isn't it? To treat everybody as they are, as individual souls, and not judge them by their gender or their colour or anything else.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it's equality. It's equality in all things that will create the balance in, you know, we're always talking about it as masculine and feminine, but we need to have the equality in all things for everything to, you know, be completely in balance. And, you know, the world is like, I don't know, it seems like it's kind of turning upside down. So, you know, we have to keep on, you know, doing what we're doing to create that vibration of balance.
Well, yes. Now, we must get cracking and get on to, as the chapter was titled, Memories of the Beloved, because I'm sure many of our listeners are very keen to hear, as it were, firsthand from Mary Magdalene, what she had to say about Jesus. And she apparently said he came to show us not only who he was, but who we are. So tell us a little bit more about what she told you.
Well, I think that I was just thinking that maybe I would read a part of it that would explain it better.
As you wish, yes. I know you said he, in the book it says he had blue eyes, so it's interesting.
Yes, that is what I was told, and I guess there have been others I've met others that have seen that same thing. You know, I don't know, I thought that was kind of strange myself, because I'd never, thought of it that way. But, so maybe I'll just read that part since you mentioned that, maybe that would be great.
May I say, before you do that, I think we must emphasize here, as a lot of people believe, that Mary and Jesus lived together and loved together, that they were a couple, as it were, yes?
Oh, yes, absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. They were a divine union, as so many divine unions are, and they were, you know, that's just the way, since they came into my life in this way, is the way I always think about them. I just feel that they are just this beautiful, beautiful inspiration, and of it all, really. You
yes.
know, of it all. So
right, you better get on with this bit you're going to read us.
Okay, all right. His eyes were blue, the kind of blue you just get lost in. His hands were most gentle, and his voice seemed to come from another place, for it went completely into you and filled you. He was firm in his words, but ever so loving. The love that was emanating from him either captured you or turned you away. There were those that could not handle his presence. He worried as we did, but not of the small as we do. His worries were for mankind. He so wanted all to hear the message of love, and the love in his heart was not of this world. He was bringing heaven to us through his eyes, his touch, and his voice. If there had been no miracles, his presence would have been enough, but he so wanted to touch even those who could not believe. So he made manifest the wonders, but that is not what he was about. It was simple, really. It was meant to change the minds and hearts and turn them towards love and forgiveness. Imagine bringing a message of such magnitude, knowing what the end would be. And yet he did these things with great beauty and care. He was happy to do it. He was full of joy, which is something you never hear about. He was very lighthearted and laughed easily and often. He could be easily annoyed as well, for the bickering and pettiness was something he had not much patience for, but always he forgave it. And this is what he taught. He taught this at the time when much of it angered those who were ingrained in their beliefs and positions, for the way he loved the women was not understood and infuriated many. He came to say we are all one, and this is the way he lived. The women just adored him. They were lifted up on high and could feel the truth. He helped them remember who they are.
Is that it?
Well, that's it for that section.
Beautiful, yeah. Oh, yes. That's very nice indeed. Yeah, so soft and reassuring. I believe it went on to say that he spoke about free will and love as the answer
yes.
to all.
Maybe but I should read the second part, shall I?
Well, what I thought was very nice, that I think immediately followed that, was to say that a kind word or a touch is all it takes when a hardened heart is made soft. And I thought that's very nice.
Yes, that's right. I know. That is a beautiful part. Yes.
Yes, yes. You may read us a little bit more. Yes, well. Yes.
Okay. So it goes on to say, now we must speak of today. How will we bring his message back into the hearts of those who still run from him? It is in this place and time that the opportunity for great change exists. There are things taking place of which you are not aware, shifts and energies coming forth to facilitate peace and love and a great light, if only you will choose. I am happy to be heard in this time and place. Some will be angered, for as it was then, the message is strong and the vibration it carries frightens those who are layered with guilt and shame. This is unnecessary, for the time has come to lift your faces and see the beauty, for he is still with you. He is with you in one another, and more of you are choosing love and speaking of this love, for love begins with the truth, and the truth has been hidden. Do you understand what we are speaking of? Yes, that love is the answer, for he was the embodiment of all that is loving and demonstrated this love for all, for the women, the children, and those who would do away with him. Forgiveness, truth, faith, integrity. I say it again. It is simple. He gave us the feeling of oneness, the feeling of being in balance with ourselves, one another, and the universe. In thinking they could end the message by doing away with his physical body, they were denying all that is real and all that is true. And as men do, they were carried away by their egos and the lies they tell themselves, and jealousy and position reigned. But the women were transformed, and the women understood. And so they taught, and so they spoke, and their words were killed by men as they killed him. But as he lived on without his physical body, so did the message in all its majesty through the hearts and souls of the women who loved him. And today, in this time and place, the rumblings of truth will turn to a thunderous roar, and the balance will be restored, for the denial of the woman, of the feminine, has caused great destruction and unhappiness. Open your hearts to receive all you know to be true. Walk with him once again, for the message is within you. He has placed it there within your heart, and all that needs be done is to allow yourselves to open and remember.
Very good advice, very nice to hear. And something that I think also is very beautiful is that he felt compassion for everyone, including his enemies. And I think sometimes people find that one very hard to grasp, the idea that you should be dealing in what I think would be called unconditional love, to love everybody regardless.
Yes, and that is just another way that, you know, when you see, you know, I think, like, it's so difficult for us to understand that whole scenario that took place and the brutality of it and all of that. But, you know, I remember once what I heard was that the cross is not supposed to be a symbol of suffering, but of forgiveness. And, you know, did we need such a drastic example? I guess so, because, you know, when you think about it, you know, look what's still going on today. And we just, you know, that's just a beautiful example of forgiving the most atrocious acts, and that he saw within each person their true soul and not the actions that they were carried away with.
I think that understanding perhaps becomes a little more easily, understood when you do accept the oneness of everything, because we're all part of the whole, and it seems very difficult to understand why you should treat one person any different than you would wish to be treated yourself.
Yes, yes, exactly, but we forget that when we become angry or when someone behaves in a way that we don't understand or that we feel that we would never behave that way, and then it brings up all kinds of, you know, and this is why transcending those feelings, you know, I was, as I told you, I have been given these meditations, and it's so, it's interesting you brought that subject up, because there was a point where everything had gone quiet, and I thought, oh my goodness, they're not speaking to me anymore. And I was having so much stress in my life. I mean, my 3D life was so stressful. And I guess I really was, you know, I didn't realize I maybe cut myself off. I don't know. And I had never, ever said this, and I said it out loud in my living room. I said, I don't think I can do this anymore, you know, having this 1 foot in one world, 1 foot in the other world. I don't think I can do it anymore. And I had never said such a thing. And it was almost like somebody up there said, oh, really? Well, that's not going to happen. Because the next morning, four mornings in a row, I received these incredible meditations that I had no idea that they were going to go together and that they were going to turn out to be this entire workshop material. But it came so differently. I would receive them in a different way. It was a whole different new thing. But one of the ones that I received was called the Sacred Heart of Forgiveness. And I was told that even when we think that we have truly, truly forgiven, most times we have not. Because if that person still exists, especially in our life, and if something comes up or they do something again, then you know, these feelings come up and you realize, you know, wow, I thought I had really dealt with all of that, but you know, the anger comes up again. And this particular meditation takes you into a very beautiful and deep. What I saw was that these were real dimensions that they were, you know, taking me into, and that they were allowing me to then take others into. And
I'm going to have to pull you up a little bit there, because we haven't got very many minutes left, and I need to keep one back to announce next week's guest.
Okay.
But I feel at this stage, I ought to ask you to confirm the name of your book, tell our listeners where they can get it, and also give them your website address.
Okay. The name of the book is The Heart of Love, Mary Magdalene Speaks. You can get it on my website, and that is www.theheartoflove.com. And you can just go to my website. Everything is on my website, all the meditations. I discuss all the meditations, and I also do sessions over the phone, workshops and person sessions. So if anybody resonates with it and is interested, they can email me. I will certainly email them back. And
that's fine.
Yes, and I have a few meditation CDs also for purchase on my website also.
Right, yeah, that's lovely, yeah. I mean, we've obviously only covered parts of your book, and that is to be expected. But what we've heard obviously gives people a flavour of what is in there and what they might expect. And as I say, having read your book, I think it's very gentle, it's very informative, and it obviously comes from a very high spiritual level, so I recommend it myself. Thank you, Gail. Look, I have to say goodbye to you now, and thank you for appearing on my program.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's been very nice to talk with you. Thank you very much. I'll give you a couple of final words. Have you got a short message for our listeners? I mean, what do you think is the most important thing just for the immediate future?
Everything that I just spoke about is in your own life. Balance your own life and in loving unconditional love, and that will help the planet, especially with what is happening now. So,
indeed, yes. Well, thank you again, Gail. It's been very nice speaking with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mike.
Well, friends, another interesting interview, to say the least. Next week, I've got something quite different. I have Neil Redfern coming along, who is said to be one of the world's most famous authors and experts on extraterrestrials, UFOs, and unexplained phenomena. He's a best-selling author, and he's just brought out a new book called Contactees, A History of Alien-Human Interaction. And that is naturally what we are going to discuss. So I hope you can be with me next week, and I thank you very much for being with me and my guest, Gail Swanson, today. God bless you all. Thank you.